Good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, the U.S. has hit another daily record for COVID-19 cases. It's sixth in 10 days. For the New York Times, more than 59,880 new cases were announced across the U.S. Thursday, a single-day record. Florida, which began reopening in early May, broke its record for deaths in a single day. Like a bus accident, a day, another headline. Hospitals strain as infections rise. IC units are reaching capacity. Nurses are falling sick, leading to shortages. The new spikes are challenging hospitals in the U.S. It's like watching New York all over again.
That is correct. David, this is awful. You watch the news, and news directors prioritize what comes. There is no other news except the number of deaths. Now, when we talk about deaths, each of those people has a face, a family, and social and work relations, but we don't talk about that. We talk about numbers. And I think that's poison because these are people. Now, some of the news outlets are catching up with this and saying, let me put a face on it. Let me give you one person. But as you know, David, I've been saying this from the very beginning. In order to understand what a catastrophe this is for this country, people have to be seen as people, not as a number. And when you talk about these numbers, it defies you to understand what the depth of this tragedy is. We are talking about grandparents, we're talking about parents, we're talking about lovers. This is beyond belief. And by the way, for all those people who thought that it was just old people who were getting this, it is now turning out not to be. Not only that, every day you read something that this virus is doing that we didn't know. So, for example, we're finding out that there's brain implications for all of this and permanent, and so we just don't know. In the meantime, we have a president of the United States who refuses to wear a mask, who refuses to talk about the importance of wearing a mask. And we know, Dr. Fauci tells us, that if everybody wore a mask in this country, as they do in other places, we could knock a good deal of this out. And we could save many of those numbers and those lives that those numbers represent. So, David, it's awful. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this. You add up all the murders that have occurred in this country, and they don't come close to what's going on. So please, everybody, it's a matter of conscience. And in the meantime, David, this nonsense is going on in which the president is now intent on having his nominating convention in Florida, the key state in this. We saw Al Gore lose the election based on hanging chads in Florida. So it has the potential for corruption. You have DeSantis, the governor, who is chicken, if there ever was one, to do what's right. Sometimes in life, when you meet your maker, there is always this moment when you have to say, I did this because I was what? A cheap political operative, as opposed to somebody who knew what would save lives?
And before the convention, tomorrow, the president's expected in New Hampshire. Wonder what that'll be like.
Well, look, New Hampshire is a state, unlike its neighbor Vermont, New Hampshire is a state where there are people who really do believe in this president and who believe in a conservative approach to life. This is not conservatism. If you were conservative, you would conserve. That's what the word means. You would keep people alive.
Well, how long now have we been talking about whether we're going to get to see President Trump's taxes, Alan? We found out yesterday the justices have cleared the way for prosecutors to get Trump's financial records. He can, of course, now block the release of his financial records to Congress. This will go past the election, but prosecutors in New York may see them. Your thoughts on what happened yesterday with the court?
Well, there are a couple of things. First of all, you know, there's obviously some negotiation going on because both the decision about the prosecutors, which came out 7-2 and basically against the president, and the idea that the Congress really hadn't quite prepared well enough. Yeah, baloney. Also 7-2. That was the trade, I suspect. I wasn't in the room. I wasn't a fly on the wall. But these justices can be quite political in the way in which they do some trading. And I think that's what happened yesterday. Now, we will not see his tax returns. Nevertheless, this is seen as a tremendous loss for the president because this court has had the guts to say, no, Mr. President, no one man is above the law, and you are not above the law. So, yeah, we won't see the tax returns. It's frustrating. We'll see them eventually, and we'll figure out what was going on. But in the meantime, the justices have articulated a principle which is extraordinarily important, and that principle is no man is above the law. And so it was a big loss for the president. He started tweeting immediately. It does sound like he's quite mad.
Well, we also have the tricky situation in Manhattan with Jeffrey Berman, who is the prosecutor ousted by President Trump, and details have come out. He testified before the House Judiciary Committee and recounted being summoned, Alan, with no warning in June to a meeting with Attorney General Barr at the Pierre Hotel in New York. The Attorney General asked him to step down and offered him a prominent government post if he would do so. Mr. Berman said he rebuffed Mr. Barr time and again during what he described as a tense 45-minute discussion, telling him he would not resign and did not want to be fired. That's led to discussion, apparently, Representative Gerald Namler, the Democrat and chairman of the committee, as to whether this was a quid pro quo.
I don't think there's any question about what was intended. Proving it is another thing, and saying what motive was. It's going to be tough for them to do that. Look, Barr is going to have to come before the Judiciary Committee. He says he's going to do that. They're going to ask him the question, was it a quid pro quo? He's going to say, absolutely not. We do move people around from time to time. We also fire people. We're not firing him. It was by no means meant as an incentive to do it. Of course it was, but proving it becomes very difficult. Now, what's interesting here is the House of Representatives voted to impeach the president. That didn't work out. Now, there's a question of whether or not they will vote to impeach Barr. There are plenty of reasons to impeach the guy, but I think on this one, they don't make the hurdle. I could be wrong, but when he comes before the Congress, they're going to ask him some tough questions.